here is a special announcement. Today is Tuesday, and not, as is announced in today's Sunday Telegraph, Friday. And now, a repeat of last Thursday's performance of Monday Night is Music Night.
After New Music Generator, we come next to Evening Under Lamplight, our fortnightly gathering here on Cambridge 105, community radio in your city, with me, Robert Louis Abrahamson, and you, together, sharing this evening with the photograph album, as our patron T.S. Eliot suggests. Last time we spoke about changes. This evening, I propose we narrow the focus and speak about something perhaps more immediately relevant, the change of season. Here in this pivotal month of September, as we pass from summer into autumn, I have various offerings to put before you, and I invite you to attend. But first, Alec Guinness dropping in for a minute or so to set us up with our T.S. Eliot passage. See what catches you in these lines this time. Home is where one starts from.
Home is where one starts from. As we grow older, the world becomes stranger, the pattern more complicated of dead and living. Not the intense moment isolated with no before and after, but a lifetime burning in every moment, and not the lifetime of one man only, but of old stones that cannot be deciphered. There is a time for the evening under starlight, a time for the evening under lamplight, the evening with the photograph album. Love is most nearly itself when here and now cease to matter. Old men ought to be explorers. Here and there does not matter. We must be still and still moving into another intensity for a further union, a deeper communion through the dark cold and the empty desolation, the wave cry, the wind cry, the vast waters of the petrel and the porpoise. In my end is my beginning.
We must be still and still moving, as though even if we stop and attend, we are nevertheless still moving. Time, relentless, does not stop. And even as we look out on the landscape, calming our minds as we take in the scene, still and attentive, even so, we watch as, look, look, the leaves on that tree are falling, and look, that tree, are they blossoms, or have all the leaves just been turning yellow? And as the cloud passes over the sun, what happened to that warmth? Where's my jacket? And the light, always taking us by surprise as it changes both its intensity, feeling much more mellow, and its duration. Can you believe that it's getting dark already? 2 weeks ago, we were sitting outside reading at this time in the evening. And the fruit. Where was it that I drove past yesterday and saw up against their wall an espaliered pear tree, dripping fruit, all those pears getting ready to be picked? Blackberries in the hedges and sloes if you want them, and each morning I can go out to the garden and pick about a cup of autumn raspberries for breakfast. It's the kind of change of season I offer for us this evening under lamplight. But maybe your circumstances keep you from being in touch with the changes out in nature. Maybe you go from the house to the car to the office or shop and back again through cityscapes with little natural presence. But still, look out for what the Romans called rus in urba, touches of the countryside in the city, such as solitary trees along the roads, like that beautiful tree just down the street from us here at the end of Guider Street at Mill Road, or the ivy. There's a house not far from me whose whole side wall is covered in ivy, which turns bright red in the autumn, but only in stages. At the moment, one whole section is turning red, while the rest is still as green as in the height of summer. And then sooner or later they'll all fall off and rustle around on the ground for a few days until a rain comes and softens them, or cars run over and pulverize them, turning the once living leaves back into rich soil. This is the kind of transformation of leaves dying to become ground for new life that Henry David Thoreau was considering on an autumn day in 1853. "Consider what a vast crop is thus annually shed upon the earth," he wrote in his journal. "This, more than any mere grain or seed, is the great harvest of the year. This annual decay and death, this dying by inches before the whole tree at last lies down and turns to soil. As trees shed their leaves, so deer their horns, and men their hair or nails. This year's great crop. They teach us how to die. How many flutterings before they rest quietly in their graves. By what subtle chemistry they will mount up again, climbing by the sap in the trees." That was Nick Drake with Harvest Breed from his Pink Moon album. "Falling fast and falling free, you look to find a friend. Falling fast and falling free, this could just be the end. Falling fast, you stoop to touch and kiss the flowers that bend, and you're ready now for the harvest breed." And there's one further annual sign of this change of season: going back to classes. In many places, people go back to school and university in August, it seems, these days. But there's still a decorous wait until September around here. It's an odd time, combining the excitement of meeting friends and colleagues again after the long break, but also, of course, the sad goodbye to the vacation time. Though often, if we're honest, we're pretty glad to get back to the routine a little bored now after so many weeks of free time, or sort of free time. Or if we're parents, phew, at last some free time now. And also regret all those projects we'd put off until the summer break, and so few of them, alas, actually accomplished. The only way we can bear this regret is perhaps by sharing with all the others who feel the same way. I didn't get nearly as much done as I'd hoped to do. Oh, well, the world won't come to an end, at least not because of that, anyway. But now, if you'll step over here for a few minutes, I have one of our triptychs, or three-in-a-row songs, to offer you. Let's promenade over there together. Let's have three Kinks songs about the changing season from summer to autumn. That sweet, melancholy characteristic of this pivoting time appealed to Ray Davis, and out of several songs, I've chosen three for our attention this evening under lamplight. Two from that very creative early period in the 60s, and one from the mid-80s. This triptych goes out with special mention to fellow Kinks fan Bill Jones in Little Rock. First, let's listen to End of the Season from the 1967 album Something Else. Think of all that was going on in 1967, the exciting, psychedelic summer of love, revolutionary season, all these great things about to happen, and then consider this song by Ray Davis, End of the Season, It's All Over. It starts off with cheerful birdsong, and then some ominous piano chords, and then the glum voice. You know the kind who, after the summer solstice in June, starts lamenting that the days are getting shorter and the winter is setting in. Yes, this voice comes at us, lamenting, winter time is coming, all the sky is grey. Summer birds aren't singing since you went away. So we see it's one of those songs, connecting the seasons with the mood of the lover. She's gone away, and it's as though we've moved towards wintertime. Then comes the old-time crooning, plummy voice, lamenting her absence and the deadness of the change of season, close of play. No cricket now, and none of those city pleasures for the dandies shopping on Savile Row. It's not just the end of the natural season, but the end of the social season, too, now that all the parties and all the fun have finished. Since you've been gone, end of the season. Winter is here, close of play. I get no kicks walking down Savile Row. There's no more chicks left where the green grass grows, and I know that winter is here, end of the season. My reason's gone, close of play. I just can't mix in all the clubs I know. And then an astonishing line expanding the song into a much wider social and political context, reminding us that Harold Wilson had just been re-elected Prime Minister in a landslide. With all that this meant, here's the line, "Now Labour's in, I have no place to go." We've been told that you, his girlfriend, presumably, have gone, and now we find out more. You're on a yacht near an island in Greece. Though you are hot, forget me not. I will keep waiting until your return. Now you are gone, end of the season. Winter will come any day. Back in the scrum on a wet afternoon, down in the mud, dreaming of flowers in June. And then the song ends with that bird song again, reminding us perhaps that there are still traces of summer, but his mind, full of self-pity, is projecting itself into a bleak, wintry drama. The Kinks, End of the Season. I hope you like that song. I like it more and more. Let's make it the theme for this change of season, remembering, of course, that it's one of the Kinks' satires, mocking the posh voice who thinks his life is over because she's off on a yacht for a holiday in warm, sunny Greece. Though you are hot, he says, forget me not. Sure, honey. Okay, next, here's a more rousing song, one of those sing-along tunes Ray grew up with and tried to recreate in the rock music context. Again, going completely against the current fashion, never a dedicated follower of fashion. Here's the song Autumn Almanac, recorded 50 years ago in September 1967, a popular single in the UK, but not in America, and never released on an album until a compilation album several years later. But, of course, it's more than a rousing sing-along. First of all, there are all the little details that bring this season to life. The song starts by noticing that from the dew-soaked hedge creeps a crawly caterpillar when the dawn begins to crack. It's all part, he says, of my autumn almanac. Then a kind of bland detail of breeze blows leaves of a musty-colored yellow, but that homely added touch, so I sweep them in my sack. So we have our rhymes established, crack, sack, and, of course, autumn almanac. Now, if the posh guy in End of the Season just can't mix in all the clubs he knows, our Muswell hillbilly here is humbler and surrounds himself with others in the same position. Friday evenings, people get together, hiding from the weather. They can enjoy a homely English tea, even though they know that tea and toasted buttered currant buns can't compensate for lack of sun because the summer's all gone. And there's more working-class life here. I like my football on a Saturday, roast beef on Sundays all right. I go to Blackpool for my holidays, sit in the open sunlight. But then a slight shift in tone, the Kinks' frequent, bittersweet, loving, mocking satire of the innocent, unpretentious, out-of-it working-class man finding happiness in little things. Comical to us sophisticated people, but then, wait, actually very touching. This is my street, he says, and I'm never going to leave it, and I'm always going to stay here if I live to be 99. And why does he want to stay here? 'Cause all the people I meet seem to come from my street. Well, of course they do if you never get away, but this simplicity disarms all criticisms. And I can't get away, because it's calling me, come on home. Hear it calling me, come on home. He's actually trapped in his social and class position, but he doesn't realize it. Or perhaps if he does, and is just trapped in his timidity, he's trying to forget it down at the pub with his friends. So now, let's all join in the chorus together and we'll make it through this change of season. All together now. Okay, isn't that lovely? I love that. It's our second in our Kinks triptych, Autumn Almanac. Friday evenings, the song says, people get together hiding from the weather. But for us, it's Wednesday evenings that we get together hiding from the weather or not for our evening under lamplight on Cambridge 105 with me, Robert Louis Abrahamson, this evening looking at the change of seasons, summer into autumn.
When the day comes to an end, he invites you to attend evening under lamplight. It's Cambridge 105, community radio in your city.
Thank you. We've had two of our trio of Kinks songs this evening, and here's the third. A bleaker song, a more ambiguous season. Is it summer or chilly autumn? The end of summer seems to become an image of the passing of time, and passing of time in the Kinks kingdom always carries the flavor of deep regret. He's never at peace in the present moment, or almost never. A song like Sitting in the Midday Sun is filled with peaceful living in the moment. But then it's a summer song, and not this end-of-season song, and it's also, in its own way, a crazy song. Well, here's this song. It's called Summer's Gone. Looking in a window on a rainy day, thinking about good things that I just threw away, looking in the gutter, watching the trash go flowing by, thinking it's summer, but there are only clouds in the sky. Well, this is one kind of city scene, and as the present closes us in, we are pushed to look backwards, but there's nothing but regret in the past. When I think about what we wasted makes me sad. We never appreciated what we had. Now I'm standing in a doorway with my overcoat on, and it really feels like summer's gone. It should have been a laugh. It should have been fun. When I think of all the things that we did last summer, now I look back, it seems such a crime we couldn't appreciate it at the time. Now I'm standing in a doorway, thinking of summers gone by. It ought to make me happy, but it just makes me want to cry. Veilles mir. But then the song shifts to a familiar little vignette from childhood. Kids in the back seat of the car, annoying dad at the wheel, and then projecting into the mind of the father, who is as baffled at life as anyone else, and is soon to have it all pass by. I was riding in the car with my mum and dad. He was driving the car. The kids were driving him mad. Dad looked at us, then he looked at his wife. He must have wondered where we all came from. And then mum said, "Dad, you know, it won't last for long. Before you know it, summer's gone."
So
Summer's Gone by the Kinks, ending with a kind of forced cheerfulness, verging on the maniacal, and those seagulls so full of memories and of longing for so many people. Well, that's from the 1984 album Word of Mouth. Down in the Mouth, it sounds more like. But wait, I don't really want to make this a dreary evening. And I hope you can see that although there's an autumnal melancholy here, there's no depression. And we don't have to just give in to the winter coming apace. Bob Dylan doesn't. He may be singing the blues, but it's a defiant blues. Summer days, summer nights are gone. Summer days and the summer nights are gone. I know a place where there's still something going on. Life doesn't stop even though the summer's gone. But what kind of life is this? It sounds full of some kind of promise, and the song offers us scattered images, a chaotic life, take what we can. The fog's so thick you can't spy the land, he says at one point. Dangerous? Yes. Uncertain? Certainly. But we still throw ourselves even into the fogginess. Dylan refuses to come to a stop. And as for the past, well, yes, it's not necessarily over. In one of Dylan's famous overlong lines, we have the world summed up in a quick exchange. She says, you can't repeat the past. I say, you can't? What do you mean you can't? Of course you can't. And when it's time to go, he knows what to do. Standing by God's river, the holy river Jordan, presumably, my soul is beginning to shake. Standing by God's river, my soul is beginning to shake. I'm counting on you, love, to give me a break. Well, I'm leaving in the morning as soon as the dark clouds lift. Yes, I'm leaving in the morning just as soon as the dark clouds lift. Gonna break the roof in, set fire to the place as a parting gift. They'll be glad to see him go, no doubt. Well, here he comes.
Summer days, summer nights are gone. Summer days and summer nights are gone. Up your glasses and sing. Well, I'm standing on the table, I'm frozen a toast to the king. And I'm driving in the flats in a Cadillac car. The girls all say, oh, I won't star. My pockets are loaded out, I'm spitting if you die. How can you say you love someone else? You know it's me all the time. You can't spy the land. The fog is so thick that you can't even spy the land. What good are you anyway if you can't stand up to some old business band? Wedding bells are ringing, the choir is beginning to sing. Yes, the wedding bells are ringing and the choir is beginning to sing. What look good in the day and night is another thing. She's holding my hand. She looked into my eyes. She's holding my hand. She said, you can't repeat the past. I said, you can't. What do you mean you can't? Of course you can. Where do you come from? Where do you go? Sorry, that's nothing you would need to know. Well, my back has been to the wall so long, it seemed like it's stuck. Why don't you break one more time, just for good love. I've got a couple of readers, buzz, I'm using them all. Well, I got eight couple of readers, and buzz, I'm using them all. Shot on gas, my motor's starting to stall. My dogs are barking, there must be someone around. My dogs are barking, there must be someone around. I've got my hammer ringing, pretty baby, but the nails ain't going down. You got something to say, speak or hold your peace. Well, you got something to say, speak now or hold your peace. If it's information you want, you can get it from the police. Politician's got on his job and shoes. He must be running for office, got no time to lose. Sucking the blood out of the genius of generosity. He been rolling your eyes, you been teasing me. River, my soul's beginning to shake. Standing by God's river, my soul's beginning to shake. I'm counting on you, love, to give me a break. I'll be leaving in the morning as soon as the dark clouds lift. Yes, I'm leaving in the morning just as soon as the dark clouds lift. I'm breaking the roof, set fire to the places of hiding here. Summer days, summer nights are gone. Summer days, summer nights are gone. I'm a place where there's still something going on.
Summer Days, from the album Love and Theft, with that defiant cymbals and drum roll departure. Now let's move on to something else. There's more to this time of the year than just the end of summer. In the ancient Chinese calendar, we are entering the time of the fifth season. Not summer, not autumn, but that in-between Ainoma time, harvest. It's been a long time since I last played a track from my CD, Journey Through the Seasons, Meditations on the Five Chinese Healing Energies, a CD I put out in, I think, 2007. The series of meditations begins in autumn, or leaf fall, and goes through winter, spring, summer, and finally harvest. A journey into loss and darkness, and out again, springing with new birth and renewed energy, and then the mature heat of love in the summer, culminating in this final season when all the energy comes to harvest rest. All the work is finished and we enjoy a time of Sabbath. All journeys provide the traveler with these moments of refreshment, times to harvest what the summer energy has created. Then, because our journeys are cycles, we pick ourselves up again and step forth into new seasons of germination, growth, and harvest. Each season in the Chinese system is associated with a different element: metal for autumn, water for winter, wood for spring, fire for summer, and earth for harvest. Each has its own color, too, and each has a positive emotion and a negative emotion. You'll hear more about the harvest features in a minute. My aim with this CD was to try to bring together these Taoist patterns with some poetry, both Western and Eastern. In the harvest meditation, we'll hear poetry by Emily Dickinson, John Keats, and Wendell Berry. The music is by Neil Henry. The meditation takes a little over 6 minutes, so sit back and attend to what is going on, both in the words and in your own mind, imagination, heart. Harvest, spoken by none other than RLA. Harvest. As imperceptibly as grief, the summer lapsed away. Too imperceptible at last to seem like perfidy. A quietness distilled as twilight long begun, or nature spending with herself sequestered afternoon. The dusk drew earlier in, the morning foreign shone. A courteous yet harrowing grace as guest that would be gone. And thus, without a wing or service of a keel, our summer made her light escape into the beautiful. Finally, we move to the season of harvest, the color yellow, or better, the color of golden wheat. The element is the earth. Here, we're grounded, earthed at the end of the journey. The organ is the spleen, the minister of the granary, extracting nourishment from our food. All the energy of the seasons has led us here. Now is the time for feeding, for quiet enjoyment of all that is good, solid, and nourishing. The negative emotion in this season is worry, as we become anxious about whether there might be enough to sustain us. We still find it hard to trust that energy that has led us this far along our path. Will there be enough? Will we be all right here at the end of the journey? The positive emotions are serenity and compassion. That peaceful calm when we can let go and put our trust in whatever harvest comes our way. We know that at the deepest levels we are always nourished. We accept the blessing of ripeness. All is now ready. Season of mists and mellow fruitfulness, close bosom friend of the maturing sun, conspiring with him how to load and bless with fruit the vines that round the thatched eaves run, to bend with apples the mossed cottage trees, and fill all fruit with ripeness to the core. To swell the gourd, and plump the hazel shells with a sweet kernel. To set budding more and still more later flowers for the bees, until they think warm days will never cease, for summer has o'erbrimmed their clammy cells. Who hath not seen thee oft amid thy store? Sometimes whoever seeks abroad may find thee sitting careless on a granary floor, thy hair soft lifted by the winnowing wind, or on a half-reaped furrow sound asleep, drowsed with the fume of poppies, while thy hook spares the next swath and all its twined flowers. And sometimes, like a gleaner, thou dost keep steady thy laden head across a brook, or by a cider press, with patient look, thou watchest the last oozings, hours by hours. Where are the songs of spring? Aye, where are they? Think not of them, thou hast thy music too. While barred clouds bloom the soft dying day and touch the stubble plains with rosy hue, then in a wailful choir the small gnats mourn among the river sallows, borne aloft or sinking as the light wind lives or dies. And full-grown lambs loud bleat from hilly bourn. Hedge crickets sing, and now with treble soft the redbreast whistles from a garden croft, and gathering swallows twitter in the skies. And there we end. All fruit with ripeness to the core, completed in our very center, where, as the fruit of our alchemy, lie the male and female, sun and moon, together in serenity. In spring we planted seed, and by degrees the plants grew, flowered, and transformed the light to food, which we brought in and ate and lived. The year grown old, we gathered all that remained. We broke, manured, prepared the ground for overwintering. And thus at last made clear our little plot of time, tropical for a while, then temperate, then cold. And so the journey finishes and moves on, tropical, temperate, then cold. In my end is my beginning. That was the Meditation on Harvest from Journey Through the Seasons. Write to me at lamplight@cambridge105.co.uk if you're interested in this CD and its accompanying booklet. There are a few copies left, and I'd be happy to share with you. Before we come to the end of the show, let's spend a few minutes attending to some of the poetry we've heard in the meditation. Attend again to Emily Dickinson's poem, As Imperceptibly as Grief. As imperceptibly as grief, the summer lapsed away, too imperceptible at last to seem like perfidy. A quietness distilled as twilight long begun, or nature spending with herself sequestered afternoon. The dusk drew earlier in, the morning foreign shone. A courteous yet harrowing grace, as guest that would be gone. And thus, without a wing or service of a keel, our summer made her light escape into the beautiful. As with most poems by Emily Dickinson, we're faced here with subtle, unclear images that gradually, imperceptibly, reveal human experience through unexpected enlightenments. We simply must remain steady in attending to the words and to all their possible associations and meanings. As imperceptibly as grief, the summer lapsed away. How can grief be said to pass imperceptibly away? How can summer, and by extension, how can summer love pass imperceptibly into harvest harmony and quiet enjoyment? Too imperceptible at last to seem like perfidy. How does perfidy, or betrayal of trust, come into this? When we, at some moment, suddenly become aware that the summer heat has diminished, do we feel betrayed? Or does Dickinson's image suggest that in this journey through the seasons, the shift of energy is so gradual, so imperceptible, that the question of betrayal never enters our minds? Ponder some of the other images, too. Nature spending with herself sequestered afternoon. This makes no sense until we start playing with it. Can we picture nature retiring into a private room or sitting on a rocking chair on an unoccupied veranda to pass those long, quiet hours before dinner, just sitting, reminiscing or daydreaming without any disturbances? There's a whole drama being painted for us which can become a metaphor suggesting that certain aspects of this harvest season bring to us the same feelings evoked by the sequestered afternoon image. Or consider the suggestion that certain harvest mornings come to us like a guest who wants to leave but is too courteous to come out and say so. These are all images of lingering, not quite standing still, but moving on so gradually we are aware of no motion. We must be still and still moving. Not like a bird on the wing, not like a boat with its keel, but just somehow before our eyes, our summer made her light escape into the beautiful. It is a memory now, gone into that land of lost beauty, and we are somewhere else now ourselves. So how about Keats's famous Ode to Autumn? To read carefully Keats's Ode to Autumn, probably the classic English poem on this subject, is like visiting a rich picture gallery. Every line paints a picture that calls up one or another aspect of this harvest season. Look, for instance, at that early image of autumn personified as close bosom friend of the maturing sun. The sun, too, is personified, perhaps with some sort of wand or with blessing rays proceeding from his hand that mature, he's the maturing sun, that mature or speed up the harvest crops. Picture a painting. In the foreground of the painting, we see the two of them, autumn and sun, standing together, close-bosomed, conspiring, working in secret, as they look towards an old cottage in the middle ground with thatched roof and flowers in the garden, and climbing the southern wall and clinging to the projecting eaves, a vine loaded with grapes that the season and the sunshine, autumn and sun, are bringing to ripeness. Or there's the picture of this allegorical figure of autumn, luxuriantly sitting careless, that is, without care or worry, on a granary floor, her hair not blowing, since this is a still picture, but just soft lifted, raised a little from her shoulder by the breeze winnowing the chaff from the grain. Or we see her pausing in the midst of harvesting, lulled asleep by the poppies, leaving still standing the stalks of ripe grain with red poppies and other flowers blooming amidst the yellow crop. It's that moment, I hope you've been able to enjoy a few this season, it's that moment when the mellow warmth overpowers you, and in this hour or so with nothing pressing on you, nothing you have to do, you just surrender yourself to the drowsiness induced by the quiet and the rich fragrances, maybe resting your head in beautiful, earth-motherly autumn's lap. Well, let's attend to one more image. As background to the many songs of this season, we have the harvest sunset, with long, thin clouds like horizontal bars, red and orange and pink, that shines on the stubble plains after harvest, just a field of dull yellow stalks, transforming the stubble plain into the likeness of fields of flowers, each stalk painted by the sunset glow a soft, rosy hue. Bright red would not do. It must be soft dying and imperceptible, as in the Dickinson poem. This is a calm, gradual, magical fading away. And then the little poem by Wendell Berry, a farmer himself who lives so close to the earth that harvest is not just an abstract word or an abstract picture, but a time for work interlaced with deep contemplation. In spring we planted seed, and by degrees the plants grew, flowered, and transformed the light to food, which we brought in and ate and lived. The year grown old, we gathered all that remained. We broke, manured, prepared the ground for overwintering. And thus at last made clear our little plot of time, tropical for a while, then temperate, then cold. Amid the peacefulness of this harvest season, we also think of the larger cycle, which we know we will continue to be part of. Our little plot of time through the cycle of 1 year corresponds to the little plot of our lifetime and the little plot of our life beyond our lifetime. Berry moves us quickly through the year with its transformation of seed into fruit, the light into food. We know we must provide for the cold that is coming, but we also know that this is overwintering, a great word, implying that the season of cold, dark, sterility is only one season and will pass, and there will be more richness to come. We acknowledge and submit to the movement from heat to cold, tropical, temperate, cold. Knowing, too, that the cycle, in some way we cannot foretell, will also bring us back from cold to heat by degrees, imperceptibly. And then the final line, in my end is my beginning. Of course, we remember it from our T.S. Eliot passage, but Eliot, as he often does, is lifting the line from someone else, in this case, Mary, Queen of Scots, who attested to her faith in life after death by adopting this paradox, in my end is my beginning, as her motto, partly in defiance of those who condemned her to death. We, too, can end our journey with this defiant affirmation. We have completed the cycle of the seasons. The journey is over, and it is not over. It is only just beginning. Or as George Eliot put it, in the beginning of the final chapter of her great novel Middlemarch, after almost 900 pages of story, every limit is a beginning as well as an ending. We've reached the limit of the story, or so it seems, but no. The book might end, but the story continues. Every limit is a beginning as well as an ending. And so our journey finishes, not coming to a halt, but providing for us overwintering, and for the next cycle in that continuous, ever-deepening movement to richer life. And we too have reached our limit, the end of our time together. We've been creating together over this past hour, this week's Evening Under Lamplight on Cambridge 105. I'm Robert Louis Abrahamson, and I've been doing much of the speaking, but you've been here too, and that's what makes this real. Reach me at lamplight@cambridge105.co.uk and check out the archives at momentsunderlamplight.co.uk and join me again in a fortnight for our next gathering. And let's go out with the imperceptible movement, adagio molto, pretty slow, of Vivaldi's middle movement of Autumn. Good night.